When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, Sunday evening. I'm so glad that we're doing this after a U.S. win and 3 points towards qualification in 2022. Jared, I'm so glad that we're here. I mean, look, it's been a little bit of time since the window shut on qualification for this particular part of the year, part of the schedule. But do you still have that positive vibe, or are you holding on to some of the negatives maybe that we saw back on Sunday night?
I think a win heals all wounds kind of thing. I think there is. I'm ready to look forward to the next window. I think there's things that were learned from this one. You say we're here right after the win. I mean, we aren't right after the win because somebody had something else to do on Wednesday night. So,
oh, we're doing this? We're doing this, yeah.
I just think, there's some people probably wondering why there wasn't a show the next day. I just want to make sure it was clear.
I have to come here on this show, the normal Sunday night show that we do no matter what, and I have to mea culpa and say, I'm so sorry.
WNBC.
That I have a
WNBC
radio broadcasting career. I can't speak.
You had to go hang out with Charlie Davies, your other friend. And do a post game show.
I had to go do a show with a former U.S. international. Correct. Although, as much as I like Charlie Davies, and I don't know that Charlie listens or watches, a shout out to Charlie Davies. I much prefer you, Jared. You're my one and only. You're my true guy. I'm totally
suck it, Charlie Davies.
Now, okay, so we are here, and it is just a couple days after the U.S. men's national team won a game against Costa Rica to make us all feel a little bit better. Look, I was disappointed because it wasn't 7 points, but they are in a pretty good space, pretty good spot right now in second place in qualifying. And next up, Jared, and this is what happens as soon as you beat Costa Rica like you're supposed to. And I know we didn't do a post-game show. You guys went on Twitter Spaces. That seemed like a very nice time. I know we didn't do a post-game show, but we've had time to process that. It is now about Mexico, right? Like, it's going to be here faster than you think it's going to be here, right?
It's so about Mexico, I can't tell you who else they're playing next window. I know there's two games. I don't know who's in the other one. I haven't even thought about it.
It's Jamaica. Jamaica at Jamaica is the second game in that window, which it could be, you know, could be one to target for some road points. But I think we have to talk about Mexico first. Now, there is a lot of pressure on Cincinnati, Ohio to show out and do the job as a home venue for USA Mexico, but we set up this show tonight knowing that people were going to be talking about the national team coming out of that 3-game set, talking about the point total right now with the slightly disappointing return. 11 points from two windows. I'm not going to say it's a disaster, but it's disappointing. And we've set this up as who can the US field come November 12th in Cincinnati, Ohio that could beat Mexico. Now, we set this show up, before you say anything, we set this show up, we put the schedule up on YouTube, that we got the show ready so people could click the little bell, be reminded that we're here. By the way, if you haven't subscribed to the Best Soccer Show on YouTube, go do that now, please. Like, do that. And we did that, what, a couple days ago? Like, it's been a little while.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday, it was probably up.
Yeah, shout out to Nikki Soup and Sushi. That's hard to say. I can't say Soup and
Nikki
Sushi.
Nikki Soup and Sushi.
We're going to have to talk about Soup and Sushi. Shout out to him for setting it all up. And I get here in our setup to do the broadcast, and the comment, the very first thing I see is a comment that was here before, way before we get on the air tonight.
It actually says it was written at 10 p.m. some night. I don't know what night.
Well, it says 10 for you. It says 1:10 a.m. for me because that's a slightly different time zone.
A true hater.
Who knows when this happened? But D. Rams, answering the question of which U.S. men's national team 11 could beat Mexico, says none because you can't. None because you can't, guys.
I think we did it twice this summer.
Quality trillion.
Yeah, Nikki Soup and Salad, Soup and Sushi with the tip-in. It did happen twice in 2021, right, Jared? It happened twice, yes? My miss
it did,
memory?
But I'm sure they'll tell you that that didn't count.
Oh, hold on.
It wasn't World Cup qualifying.
Which one did? Neither of them counted? The Nations League final didn't count? The Gold Cup final? Who was on the field for those games from Mexico?
It's rope-a-dope, baby. It's rope-a-dope. They're just making us feel good.
Is that what it is?
False sense of confidence.
I have not been in a trash-talky mode about Mexico for years, and 2021 has brought that back into my life, and look... Mm. I think we should fully embrace that, right? We should just, with open arms, wrap ourselves around the idea of trash-talking Mexico based on two victories in finals in 2021. I know it's not qualifying.
It would be a lot easier to do if we weren't sitting on like some points that were just like, okay, good enough. You know, it would be a lot easier to talk some trash right now if we were like out there in first place playing and maximizing points everywhere. We're not doing that. The fan base, every other game is Berhalter out.
Yeah.
It's not like we're in a confident place right now.
Well, okay, look, I think that's probably fair to say that we have some doubts about Berhalter and we're still in a feeling out period for qualifying. Mexico is in the lead. But I don't think Mexico looks great right now. Mexico hasn't been unbeatable. They scored against El Salvador on a set piece and then got a late penalty to pad that scoreline. They did not look like world beaters in that game. And it is. I know it's going to sound like an excuse for the U.S. men who went to El Salvador in the very first game of qualifying, Jared, but games like that turn on one or two moments, right? It turns on a miss mark on a set piece. It turns on a penalty kick. It turns on a mistake at the back. The United States ended up with a draw in El Salvador, and we all thought that was a very bad result. Mexico was this close to the same sort of result. I know they won, and 3 points are 3 points, but I'm just saying that there's the gap between anybody, and this is not just the United States and Mexico, but the gap between anybody right now, it's not all that big. I mean, unless you're talking about, you know, Honduras at the bottom who's already fired their coach. Then we're talking about a big gap.
I mean, there's no, I think there's still a tier one in this. And I think that is now USA, Mexico, Canada, where for years it was USA, Mexico, Costa Rica.
I know. We just replaced one C with another C. That's what we did. We just swapped
CNC,
them out.
Yeah. CNC.
CNC. Yeah, that's what we did there. Yeah.
So I think that there's still a tier one, but the distance from tier one to tier two isn't what it once was. And circumstances, like you said, there's only been a couple blowout games. A lot of these games are really, really tight. I don't think any team is going to come into this match, USA or Mexico, feeling like they have a severe upper hand or that they're confident in what's going on. And I think that plays to the U.S.'s advantage, if I'm being honest with you. I think Mexico plays better when they are cocky, when their chests are out. And I don't think they have that right now. Despite being first place in the octagonal, I don't think their style of play, their results over the summer against the U.S. are going to allow them to kind of play that way.
It's the same thing. And we are definitely going to get to what 11 can beat Mexico. Now, we're going to have to assume some things. We're going to have to imagine that health returns for some players, but that actually gets me to what you're saying. Like Mexico, you could argue that part of the reason Mexico hasn't been Mexico or what they want to be is, for example, they had to work Raul Jimenez, back into the lineup, right? He only came back from his head issue not that long ago, and he hasn't been in form. And now they rolled out against El Salvador, to be fair, with Rogelio Funes Mori as their center forward, not with Raul Jimenez as their center forward. And you know,
Jimenez has now come back for his club, right?
Yes. Well, he's back for Mexico, but they're obviously managing him a little bit. But this is my point, right? That the United States also just came out of a window of CONCACAF World Cup qualifying where they didn't have their two best attacking players. Just didn't have them. They weren't available. And that's not an excuse for not getting points against teams you should handle. It's simply to say everybody's dealing with some shit right now. Like, we're all kind of figuring it out.
You could make the argument to be without their best defensive option as well, if you still believe John Brooks is that person.
Okay, sure. You could say that too. Right. So we have the most accomplished defender the United States has was not there. The most accomplished attacker the United States has was not there. And its brightest young attacking star, other than Christian Pulisic, was also not there. So again, does that mean that the United States can just say, oh, well, none of this counts and we were just practicing in this win? No, of course not. But it's to say that everybody kind of is still in this misshapen mess of trying to figure out what the final form is going to be, except for maybe Canada, because Canada turned it on in this particular window, at least at home against a very just tired ass Panama team. I mean, for whatever they did,
well, they
against
had played
the United
starters
States.
For what, two games in a row, I think.
Yes.
I think the third game in a row by the time they were doing that. So Panama definitely looked trashed. I'll say this though, in a matchup that has a lot of question marks, all of which we're covering right now, I think it may come down to who has a better coach. And I think most people will tell you Tata Martino is probably the guy you'd rather have on your sideline than Greg Berhalter now.
That's interesting that you're saying that. And because you said that there's a trio of teams in CONCACAF right now who look like they're in Tier 1. One of them is Canada, and there may be an argument, as much as I kind of don't like the guy and his attitude, that John Herdman is the best coach of the bunch at the moment.
You know what I would like about John Herdman? The flesh-colored AirPod. The flesh-colored AirPod looks like he has a growth coming out of his ear. You never noticed that?
I didn't know that was a thing. No, I didn't know
it
that.
Looks like he has this weird, like, boxer's, like, cauliflower ear thing coming out of there. I'm not a fan of it at all. But I agree with you. You know what? You know why he's doing well as a coach? He's not tinkering. John Herdman is not tinkering the way Berhalter and even Martino will at times.
Does he have the ability to do it? Because I'm not. You're right. You're absolutely right. I think for Berhalter, it's innate, and it bothers me. And it scares the crap out of me that he has this thing in his head that's like, change the lineup, change the lineup, change the lineup. No, shut up. Lay down. Take a deep breath, you know, put some meditation sounds on, do whatever you need to do, okay? I think that's probably true. But at the same time, does Herdman have the options that Martino and Berhalter do? No, he doesn't. So for him, it's Alphonso Davies every time, Jonathan David every time, Kayshon Buchanan every time, Eustaquio every time. You know, those are the guys you roll with because those are the best. There's a clear gap between those players and
everybody
else. But
what I mean is he's
got.
Not playing them in different positions every game. Different formations every game.
Yeah.
That's the thing where is it like Berhalter, you would think, would want to play to his strengths. Now, granted, some of his strengths haven't been there, so that's forced him to tinker more than normal. But even when they were there, 4-3-3 one game, 3-5-2 another game, 4-3-3 another game, but with different people in different positions. It's just weird the stuff that he's doing, the over rotations that he's doing. And that's where I think that at the end, I don't think Tata Martino is nearly as nervous to his coaching style the way Berhalter is. It feels like he has to respond constantly to between games where maybe you just trot out what worked last time.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing he did better this window. So I don't want to not give credit where it's due. I think he did do better with that in this window, but he also didn't have the options he normally does. He kind of had to keep it simple in a number of ways. And he got bailed out from his own. It's hypothetical, but I think he got bailed out with the Paul Ariola injury pregame as well. I think that forced him to do something that he was to get out of his own way.
Yeah, that is certainly something that you people who don't like Berhalter and don't believe he's the right guy can throw at him. That if it not for Ariola's injury, maybe that game goes differently. I mean, Weah was certainly good. I don't know that it's that dramatic, but you can't tell, right? You can't prove that Ariola being in that game would have been okay. I would have started Timothy Weah. And if you follow us on social media, you saw that my lineup was essentially perfect, except for the fact that he had Ariola to start and then had to put in Weah via injury. So I don't know. I want to come to the question of the night, right? And everyone is going to throw this out in the chat, except for D Rams, who says we can't beat Mexico. Sure, okay. Your 11 to be met. We could also go wider and talk about the full roster, Jared, that you would take to that November set of games, because I you know, Berhalter could call 27. I don't think he will. It's only two games. He might call just the 23. You obviously have some players who have made themselves kind of indispensable over the last month, and then you have some players who maybe have played themselves out or because they were absent. Didn't really, you know, they're not going to get a shot or they might not be on the...
So we need to establish one thing before we start though, Jason. Are we assuming Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna are available?
So this is what I'm saying. I think we have to, right? I know that Pulisic is still out and I know Reyna is still out, but I think we have to presume them to be available because if it's another month, well then, okay, you know, then we have an issue, not just with Greg, but...
Go to DEFCON 2.
I mean, now we are talking about serious issues with them that go beyond just, oh, he's got an ankle injury or he's got a hamstring issue. Like,
do you want each of us to do an 11 and one of us do one without him and one of us do one with him? Or do you just want to assume that they're both available?
I think we should assume that those two guys will be available. And you know, the only guys that I think you can definitely rule out are the guys that have been gone for a while already and aren't really in the picture. And I think it's fascinating that, you know, Jordan Morris is coming back right now. Does he have a future? Not now, not in November probably, but is he in the national team come 2022? Is he somehow in that group? Maybe he's the Paul Ariola replacement, except that if Paul Ariola isn't in the team picture because Weah is playing well and because Reyna's back and because Aronson's very good, that I don't know if there's a place for Jordan Morris. Anyway.
All right. So we starting at the back?
Yeah, let's start at the back. You tell me who, and remember, it's Mexico. So I want you to at least have a sense of how Mexico plays when you think about this, everybody out there. Because you can't just throw, oh, this is my best 11. If you're not thinking about the way Mexico is going to play and how the U.S. is going to have to respond to that, I think you're missing the point about trying to beat Mexico. Because I'm not sure this is exactly, on paper, the best 11 the U.S. has available, Jared.
Yeah, so I'm. You can deem me if you agree, and then let me know if you. And if you don't deem me, if you.
No, let me just make sure they're working. Okay, that one works. Oh, that one works too. Okay, let's go.
Well, technically, I'm not wrong, by the way. If I just disagree.
No, that's what that means. That means wrong. You're wrong.
So for me, my best 11 to beat Mexico, I am going with Matt Turner.
Yes. Okay. I know that Stephen got his start, but come on, we all agree. Matt Turner's the number one. Yes.
Here's the thing. So I have a conspiracy theory on this now.
Oh, no. I wish I had some X-Files.
Did you think that Berhalter knew that Ederson was not going to be able to play in this window of games for Man City, and Berhalter was helping out Stefan by getting him a game in his old stadium to get him comfortable and ready for his Man City appearances over this coming week?
I don't think it has anything to do with Man City. I think that Berhalter is the kind of guy who, again, has a thing in the back of his head that says, change the lineup, who also is maybe a little bit too willing to give a guy a start in his home stadium or what would have, you know, in the city he used to play in because he had never played in that stadium. That's the only thing I can think of, that Berhalter and look, it's not like Stefan wasn't previously the number one before Turner took the job. I think that Berhalter reasoned this out in his head, oh, this guy's basically my 1A. He's pretty good. We're going to be in his hometown or his hometown in terms of his club. Oh, yeah, he's an Ohio kid. So we're going to be in his hometown. I'll play him. I think that's what that was.
Okay. So Turner in the back.
Yes.
For me, at the left back position, I'm going Anthony Robinson because I think he gives you both sides of the ball. I think he's good enough on defense to match up with the speed that Mexico is going to have on the wings. And I also think that he can pick his right positions to go forward and be dangerous. I don't think you get that with George Bello. I don't think you get that definitely with someone like Tim Ream. I'm not sure who else we're talking about at left back right now. Serginho Dest in that position. No. I think you need to be solid defensively against Mexico. And I know it's a home game, so people probably don't want to hear about being defensive, but you can't be stupid either.
That's right. Zach Steffen is originally from Pennsylvania, played in Columbus. I want to make sure I get everybody's hometown right because I'll get yelled at. I don't have a hometown. This is why I don't understand how those work. I moved around.
Oh, that was Sacramento.
Yeah, I claim Sac. You know, I'm Sac Town till I die and everything. I'm just saying, like, you know, don't really moved around. Don't really have a hometown.
Sac Town till I die. That sounds like it'd be a lifestyle choice.
It is Anthony Robinson. I think the left back depth chart is not very deep, right? I mean, George Bello didn't exactly cover himself in glory, and Sam Vines hasn't figured out how to play in Belgium yet.
Do you bring Joe Scally for a Mexico window?
Well, I do think Joe Scally deserves a spot in this window, and he could be useful.
Played today
Jamaica.
For Gladbach. Didn't get to see how he performed in that one, though.
I don't think that he's going to start against Mexico, but I think that you should have Joe Scally available and around. Absolutely. I think so. But Anthony Robinson's the right choice.
Okay, center back pairings for me. I'm going to go with John Anthony Brooks, and I'm going to go with Miles Robinson.
All right, I'm going to double ding that. I think it has to be Brooks. I know that we saw some athleticism out of Robinson and Richards in this last game. You're talking about a very different task when you're going up against Mexico, and you know I want a Marshall back there. I want a physical guy who's going to battle, whether it's Jimenez or Funes Mori or whoever they throw out there. If it's a false nine, it gets a little bit dicey, but I'm not sure that Mexico's that dangerous with a false nine, so I'm okay with making that trade-off. But I want somebody who's good in the air, and John Anthony Brooks is the best we've got in the air. There's no doubt about
that. The false nine worries me because you've seen when John Brooks when he steps, that's where he's been in trouble in the past.
That's the only thing I would worry about.
But I like the combination of the Nick and I talked about this on the Twitter spaces after the game the other night. I like the combination of the physical with the dynamic. And I think that's what you have with Brooks and Robinson. You have a guy that in Robinson's that is a great passer with the ball, fast as hell on recoveries.
Yeah.
And you, in Brooks, you have a good positional defender that's good in the air. So I think I like having both of those elements in there. And the experience matters, especially in a game against Mexico. Experience matters. And if you already have Miles Robinson, who has some limited experience now, but you have John Brooks, who has a hell of a lot of experience.
You know, I don't know. I might switch this up if this game was at the Azteca and not in Cincinnati. I might say that, you know, maybe I'd rather go with the Richards instead of John Anthony Brooks or John Brooks. But I at home against Mexico in a game like this, I think you need experience back there. And I'm gonna take Brooks. So I'm with you on that. All right, let's go to
now,
right back.
Right back is a sketchy conversation.
What are we doing here?
Here's
what
the
are
thing.
We doing here?
I don't like saying this. I'm gonna go with Serginho Dest because it's at home. At home, you have to have people on the field that are going to get you points. And what you saw over this last window is that Serginho Dest can just straight up do some things that no one else on the field can do. And I think you got to put your best players in positions to do the best things.
Which button am I going to push? Which do you think? Place
this
your bets.
Squid Game
now.
Where you have to pick one of the two?
I haven't watched it yet. Tell me, is it good? Okay. Should I watch it? Okay.
I only watched the first episode. It's highly disturbing. I haven't gone back for more yet.
All right. Tell me which one I'm going to... Okay. I think you're right. I think at home, you want to be on the front foot. I think you want a guy who's going to scare the shit out of Mexico. And Serginho Dest is going to scare the shit out of Mexico.
American fans.
Absolutely. We're all going to be on the roller coaster together. I want him to be, I want him to be responsible defensively, but I don't want to be conservative. I want to believe that Serginho Dest is going to go pull some magic out of his hat and it's going to make the game. And even if he doesn't, I want Mexico to be so scared of that that they're sitting back on that side, that they are being less aggressive on the right side of the field than they would be if it wasn't Serginho Dest who can weave his way through four players and score a worldie. I'll tell you why.
Here's two reasons why I'm comfortable with doing this. Not I would say comfortable, but I'm acceptable doing this. Miles Robinson being next to him is one of the reasons why I'm comfortable with this. And the other part is getting into the midfield, and that is Tyler Adams.
Oh, yeah. Tyler. Do we know Tyler Adams? I feel like I have to be one of the Mexican announcers. What's Tyler Adams' middle name? Why don't I know Tyler Adams' middle name?
Tyler Quincy.
Place your bets now on that. What is Tyler Adams' middle name, Jared?
I just said Quincy. I'm going with
it. You are not going to get this. This is not going to happen. I'm just telling you right now. You're not going to be anywhere near this.
What is it?
It is. It looks like Sean, but it's S-H-A-A-N.
Shan?
I don't know. Sean, Shan, something.
It could be Sean, like non, like non, like the bread.
It could be like that. It could be like that. I think yes, that those are the reasons why Serginho Dest, again, it's going to be scary, but it's always scary against Mexico. So the trade-off is you get that danger from the attacking end of the field, on the attacking end of the field, and again, you do have, in our magical world where everybody's healthy, 100% ready to go, you have Tyler Shan Adams back there doing work, cleaning up messes, covering that space. So
I believe that's a ding for both of us, right?
Yes, I did ding that one. I want to do this because somebody mentioned it in the chat. I think actually Nikki Soup and Salad said it somewhere, or maybe, I don't know who said it in the chat, but it was, Nikki Soup and Salad. That we should do this. Hold on, where is it? Belatedly for Serginho Dest's goal on Wednesday night against Costa Rica because
Greg in the chat.
It. Yeah, there. Okay, there you go. All right, so we are now through the back line, and we both established. You didn't officially say it, but we both established that Tyler Adams is at the defense midfield position, and we can move forward from there.
The midfield might go quick because I'll be highly impressed if we veer from each other on this at all. I'm going to go with Weston McKennie.
Okay. Well, then,
and I'm going to go with Yunus Musah.
Okay. So I'm going to hesitate for a second, not because
Can I guess what you actually are thinking? Can I guess?
I'm sure you know what I think. This is what everybody's thinking. They're thinking. Okay. The question is going to be, how do you get Brendan Aaronson on the field? Right? That's the question that everybody's trying to figure out.
And I'm going to remind you, go back and watch that first El Salvador game and ask yourself, do you want Brendan Aaronson in the midfield?
Okay. No, I understand that. But that's not necessarily the only option. The other option is with Tyler Adams and with Weston McKennie is to throw Gio Reyna into midfield in the Yunus Musa spot that you have declared for him.
This is the most Berhalter thing you've ever said. Try something new for the first time in a Mexico game, in the World Cup qualifier.
I understand it's new for the national team, but it's not like Gio Reyna has played only wide forward for Dortmund his entire career, right? He's been in the midfield at Dortmund. Maybe you can talk about the structure is different. Yeah, it certainly is.
You're going to have Reyna playing the Musa role then, which means he needs to be the one that's going to break lines and advance the ball. That's not what he's doing for Dortmund.
Well,
he's playing more than McKennie, the more linking player.
Well, okay, but he also does get into the attack and he does make a difference there. No, the question is, do you have to replicate the skill set or what they do? Do I have to replicate Musa to justify Reyna being in the midfield? I don't know that I have to, because he can do different things. And if McKennie is willing to sit a little bit deeper and I know, look, Weston McKennie as a attacking weapon can be nice, and he's such a Tasmanian devil of a player that you kind of can't account for him where he's going to be anyway. He's the new Jermaine Jones in that way. I understand that, but I think if you have a more disciplined McKennie, you can have an advanced Reyna, or you can have Reyna being the guy who's doing a couple of different things and certainly can drop deep and pick up the ball and maybe not make.
I'm going to play devil's advocate on this for 1 second.
Okay.
I don't think a guy coming off, I believe it's a calf strain, is that what's brought him out? I think that's what it's quad. Calf or quad? It was one of the two.
Yeah.
Like muscle, I don't know if I'm asking him on just a couple weeks back playing a midfield role.
Why are you going to the real world here? I mean, you're making this.
I'm sorry. Is that not a good thing to think about?
No, it's fine. It's just to be practical in this moment when I've got this imaginary. No, look.
I'm sorry. I'm pissing in your Cheerios.
No, I'm going to go with you. I this is my devil advocate kind of mode, but I watched Yunus Musa live for the first time in Austin, and then I saw what he did against Costa Rica. And I know he wasn't great against Panama, but nobody was. He has to be on the field. He is dynamic as hell. And the fact that he is not getting minutes in that area against for Valencia, and I know something about his defensive work not being good enough, and I get that. You don't have an Adams there. You don't have a McKennie cleaning up messes. The kid is ridiculous, and I think he has to be. I think you keep that midfield trio, like you said, Jared. We're not going to veer off and be different.
It's one of the only things that's working, dude. It's working. So I think you don't mess with it too much. So before we get to the fours, do you want to get someone else's take on their 11?
Yeah, we can go to Felix from Chicago. Felix, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just my thoughts on a best 11. I think my best right now, assuming health and things like that, mine would be Turner, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, Dest. I would start Brooks if he comes back and he plays well this month. If he doesn't, I play Zimmerman. It'd be a 4-3-3. The MMA midfield, I think you can't break that up right now. I think they look too good. I know some people want to put Reyna in the midfield and they claim that's his natural position. I don't know when he's played that. He always seems to be playing on the wings or as an attacking midfield for Dortmund. I want Reyna closer to goal. I think that's where he'd be most dangerous. I don't want him running around in the midfield and hunting for 50-50 balls and things like that. I don't think that's where I would want him. I want him dangerous, higher up. And then Reyna, Pulisic, Pepe. That's kind of what I would want. I know there's some talk about that's my initial. I want to hear what your guys' initial thoughts are, and then I kind of some ideas about Chris Richards, Chris Richards / Franco Baresi.
Right. So that's one spot. He agrees with us on Brooks for the moment, although you could argue for Richards. The same midfield, the MMA midfield, and then that front line kind of takes care of itself, I think. Now, that's a 4-3.
No, my front line's not that three.
You don't have that three. Well, then go ahead. Because, no. I mean, if I don't have Reyna in my midfield and Christian Pulisic is healthy and Ricardo Pepe's my hot hand, how else do you go? What else do you go with?
I'm not playing Reyna.
You're not playing. You're leaving Reyna on the bench against Mexico.
Yeah, I'm playing. You're asking me what team's going to beat Mexico, right?
That was the question. All right. I'm listening. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Gio Reyna has one World Cup qualifier. He played one of these six games.
Okay.
You know who's played in almost every one of them and separated themselves? Brendan Aaronson. Uh-huh. Brendan Aaronson, it gives you the work rate against Mexico. He gives you the pressure against Mexico. And I also think he gives you the creativity that you need as well. So while I'm not going to sit here and have the debate that which one's a better player, but I'm telling you, if you want to beat Mexico, okay, you bring the guy that's been there and been playing in the system and worked his ass off. And Reyna, who's a bit of a question mark now, we don't even know where he placed in the field to play him. We're debating what place in the field to have him. Brendan Aaronson has answered the questions, and okay. I would play Brendan Aaronson
okay,
right
so,
now.
So I see what you're saying about the work rate and about the effort level from Brendan Aaronson. He's always running. That is absolutely a feature of his game that could be good against Mexico. And I love Brendan Aaronson. This is why I was trying to figure out a way to get him on the field with Reyna also in the lineup. However, you also kind of need the bastard level that Reyna brings. Reyna is the kind of guy, even now, where's the player? I mean, Christian Pulisic wants the ball. I think he feels the pressure to take things on and to make things happen. And you could argue it's him. But you kind of need another guy. You've got Batman and Robin. You need another guy who's willing to take the game on his shoulders, who says, you know what, screw it. I'll make this thing happen. Brendan Aaronson's a very good player. I don't think he's that player. I think Giovanni Reyna is that player. I think Giovanni Reyna could be the guy.
I'll give you another reason why Brendan Aaronson's my guy.
Okay.
Because who's the guy playing right behind him? Serginho Dest.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And who is going to who has the legs to track back? Who has the energy to cover? Who's going to be bringing the ball inside and make a hole for Serginho Dest? I think Brendan Aaronson is the better partner for Serginho Dest in a game against Mexico, where you need to know that you has coverage if he goes forward.
A couple of alternatives to present to you before I get back to Felix and let him have his final say. One, what if, and I'm just spitballing here, so you tell me, what if it's Aaronson and Reyna and Pepe.
UCLA-Z 31 just said, I would have Aaronson over Pulisic. Pulisic, while more talented, doesn't seem to fit well into the team. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but here's the thing about, then you're really having a conversation about having your, we talked about with Dest, having a player on the field that does something no other player on the field can. I don't think Reyna brings more to that than Pulisic. I think Pulisic obviously has not looked great in his appearances for the U.S. national team recently, mm-hmm. but Reyna's benefiting from being there.
A couple of things. Pulisic has gravity that nobody else on the field has when he's on the field. So Reyna can be a very good player.
Do you think Tata Martino's game planning for Reyna, or he's game planning for Pulisic?
He's game planning for Pulisic. He's game planning to take Pulisic out of the game. Now that
Which
that
is can... a Greg Berhalter way of dealing with this, though. I think Martino's game playing for Pulisic. I'm going to show him. I'll sit him.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a terrible idea if you have an alternative. And you know, in terms of the you're talking about, you're going to need some defensive effort from your forward line against, especially against Mexico, right? You want them back pressing. You want them pressing the ball when Mexico comes up. You want them to be able to do things and fill space when fullbacks get high up the field. Those things are required of this group. And I think Pulisic is, according to Burnman 23, and I kind of agree with this, Reyna track back versus Mexico, Pulisic's the worst defender. If dropped, if you do Aaronson, he's dropped if you do Aaronson. You drop Pulisic if you want Aaronson on the field. And Aaronson, as you said, already is Energizer Bunny out there. He's the next level Paul Areola, right?
Can you imagine the fervor if the starting 11 from Mexico comes out an hour before game time and Christian Pulisic, healthy, is on the bench? Can you imagine that conversation? True or false, would you be questioning Berhalter in that moment? I know right now you're trying to win an argument trying to have a conversation, man, but come on. If that came out, wouldn't your butthole pucker up inside you?
I think my brain would say, part of it is having seen what Berhalter has done before, watching him make 7 changes against Panama and watching them dump that game because of it. I would have to bring that information to my assessment, but in a vacuum, and I know that's not what you're asking, but I'm just going to say this anyway. In a vacuum, I might go, this is like 12th dimensional chess. Like, you've got your best attacking player 1v1 on the bench for late usage. Now, if you fall behind and the game's over by 60 minutes, you're screwed. But
you're talking about like, I'm going to lead this person chasing me the wrong way, so I'm going to cut an artery and make a blood trail the wrong way. But in the meantime, I had to cut an artery to lead him the wrong way. Like, you're talking about taking your best player off the field.
What? What? Well, that's your meta.
You're literally stabbing yourself in the side thinking, no one's going to think this is coming.
That's your metaphor? The That's insane. What is wrong with you? You've been watching too much true crime stuff? What is wrong with you? What's
like,
going on?
Why would you injure yourself by taking Pulisic off the field? Like, okay. That's the most like dramatic thing you could do out of the lineup.
I think the question... So what's fascinating about this, the question is whether or not Pulisic is more undroppable than Reyna, because you're dropping Reyna, and I'm not saying drop Pulisic. I'm just wondering if that's an option. If that's something that could be considered against Mexico.
Well, the other part of this, too, is that Pulisic plays on the left. The other two play on the right most of the time. Aaronson has gone
both
ways.
Aaronson can play on the left. It's not a problem. He's done that. In fact, he did it against Jamaica. They flipping sides with Tim Weah all the time. I don't think that sides matter in this. You're not talking about guys who are whipping in crosses with their left foot on the left side. He doesn't matter. He cuts in on his right.
Size always matters.
But I also think Brendan Aaronson is two-footed enough that it doesn't matter. Did you say sides or size?
Oh, is that why? That's not what you said?
You said size or sides. Which one
I thought
did
you said
say?
Size, and okay. I thought size matters.
Damn,
that's
dog.
What people have told me.
In a pro.
The other thing, I know I'm making Felix wait, but the other thing is, what if it's a 4-2-3-1? What if you play Adams with McKennie back there, play Reyna ahead as a 10 in the hole, and then you can also
change that again.
Play Pulisic and Aaronson, and then play Pepe up high. Why
not? We just play 10 forwards? I don't understand why our answers to things are just to do more new crap we haven't done before. Stop doing new crap. You're playing Mexico, for God's sakes.
Hold on. How is that? I understand it's new in terms of the formation is new. But really, what are you talking about? You're asking, okay, first of all, if you can keep Weston McKennie, if you limit him and say, hey, this is your area of the field, I don't know if he listens to you. I don't know if he can be that disciplined. We used to have this issue with Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley. But what is so difficult about playing with two holding midfielders to share that responsibility? And then basically you're just playing with four forward players. What's the problem?
In theory, there's nothing wrong with it. But the U.S., in the games that they've struggled, think back to the Panama game just a week ago. The part of the field where they were beaten was the space between the midfield and the forwards. And so if you drop now a second holding midfielder in, you're making the potential for that distance to be greater. Because now
but you're also talking about how you play it without the ball and how you play it with the ball. I mean, let's not act like they're going to sit in these lines the entire game and there's not
fluidity. In the Panama game, they were not winning second balls in the midfield because they weren't in that space.
Okay. All right, let's go back to Felix. Felix, you've heard all of that. What are your final thoughts here?
The Pulisic stuff, I think if he's ready and he's fit and he's playing games going into the Mexico game, I think it'd be hard to keep him off out of the starting lineup. I would love to see him on a team with a fully functional and effective midfield and a striker who could actually, score goals as opposed to, I'm sorry to jump on them, Zardes and Sargent, who I think Sargent missed a couple sitters over the weekend already, too.
He missed one. So I would love to see one.
One too many, dude.
Okay, he read the green roll, okay? He played
No, I don't think he has the foot for it. I don't think he has the foot to finish from 18 yards away.
I'm not saying Josh Sargent to start for the U.S. men's national team, but let's be fair to the man.
His cleats are made of memory foam.
He had three key passes in that game. He was otherwise very good in that game. He just missed that one chance. I know that's how we judge strikers.
That's what
now
he gets paid to do, though, is to make the one chance.
I know. All right, go ahead, Felix. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, no, it's fine. So I would love to see Pulisic in that type of midfield. And then I know you guys are really talking through the midfield stuff. My final thoughts are Jared, your thoughts on Aaronson and Aaronson being a cover for Dest. I know that's stuff that we don't necessarily think of as fans. It's always like forward, forward, forward. But Dest is going to lose them all. Like, Dest is going to push. He's going to try and do something creative in the final third, and he's going to lose the ball. Mexico is the type of team that can completely take advantage of that and take advantage of that vacated space. That makes sense about Aaronson dropping back. I do think Reyna would drop back. He does play in a team that presses and expects their midfielders to work like Dortmund. So I
sure,
think
but he's Reyna not as fast as Aaronson, though.
Space. I like the...
Hold on.
I like the idea, though, of Aaronson coming in the 60th, 70th minute, though, and really running against the tired Mexico team. I think he could really cause problems with his work rate, like a super sub.
Bring a guy from Jersey off the bench to run at some people, bring a dude from Jersey off the bench.
Nah, dude, you're misspelling Aaronson. It's actually spelled W-E-A-H.
Okay.
Well, Leia is the guy you want coming in at that point and doing that, not Brendan Aaronson.
Nice to have him. Nice to have the option there, I guess.
Okay,
I
mean, both of them.
The one thing I'll say
and
about Raider.
My last thoughts were.
Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say my last thoughts were on Chris Richards is I know there's going to, and I'm sure you're going to get it or you're going to see it in the comments, and everyone wanting to throw Chris Richards yet. I really don't think he's ready yet for Mexico. He's just not ready for that yet. And that game against who did we just beat? Whoever we just beat on Thursday. Costa Rica. So they he made some big errors that they did not take advantage of. And whether it was the penalty that wasn't called, which probably could have been a yellow or a red, and then there was another yellow that wasn't called in the midfield. And he lost, and if you look at the stats, he lost almost every aerial duel that he was in. And then you're going to expect him to mark Raul Jimenez. I don't think Chris Richards could probably turn into a very amazing center back. He's not there yet, and we're not desperate enough to play him. Okay. Brooks, Zimmerman for now, let Richards grow into the role. We have plenty of high-ceiling guys out in the field already with the young team that we're playing. There's no reason for us to take a chance on Chris Richards right now when we have effective cover. That's everything I wanted to say.
I don't think the issue of Brooks over anybody is controversial. I don't think that's controversial.
I don't think so either. But there's a few out there that just love to play the kids.
Completely understand that. Now, we got a couple of things here that are worth adding to this conversation.
Can I respond to one thing Felix said real quick just to put a button on it?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So one thing he said, and I think it's a good point. We haven't seen Christian Pulisic play with Ricardo Pepi yet. Like, we haven't seen, he hasn't had that ability to do that yet. So think about what Christian Pulisic does. Christian Pulisic draws 2 to 3 players. Mm-hmm. Now, what the U.S. has failed to do when Christian Pulisic pulls 2 to 3 players is get the ball off his foot, move the ball, because that means the striker is, at a minimum, single coverage. And so what could Ricardo Pepi do when a center back gets pulled out to the wings to help cover a guy like Christian Pulisic? I don't think anyone else draws players like that in the starting 11 for the U.S. than Dest, but he's starting from too far back in the field.
Okay, so that's interesting. And that's what I said about gravity. So that's what Pulisic has. He has gravity, right? He's always going to draw a crowd. He's always going to bring defenders to him. They're always going to shut him down. He's going to win fouls in dangerous areas. And if you have somebody, I mean, look, a thing that this team hasn't really taken advantage of is the fact that they have Weston McKennie, they have Miles Robinson, they have Zimmerman when he's on the field. These guys are all dangerous in the air. You'd like to see them take advantage of that. I'm just saying, that's part of the game. Dan said here about Aaronson. Aaronson isn't fast, really. He makes intelligent runs. So I don't think Aaronson is like a blazing fast player. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is he doesn't stop running, right? So when you have a player who doesn't take that moment to pause or think or wait, then he looks like he plays faster than he actually is, which is advantageous. That's a thing that you need. I wanted to say something about Felix talking about Reyna pressing at Dortmund. There's a difference between pressing and recovering and filling space in behind. Those are different jobs, and they are different defensive responsibilities.
I think you and I would both agree that Aaronson would be better than that than Reyna.
Yes, I would say that is probably fair. Now, the other thing that is, this is the absolute joker in the deck, right? This is not, and I think we brought it up briefly last week or last time we talked, Sergiño Dest as a right winger. Now, okay, so tamale killer... Man, if I had some tamales, I would absolutely kill him. So Molly Killer says Dest looked great today for Barcelona as a right wing. Now, if you do that, okay, you might not ask as much of him defensively. Okay, clearly, sure, yes, fine. You play a stay-at-home fullback behind him? I don't know. What do you do there? Also, you're pushing Reyna and Aaronson both out of the lineup at that point, right?
Okay, your boy right here talked about this like a month ago. I don't know if you remember.
No.
On this show, I talked about this.
It's not an insane idea. I just don't know
how it works for the national team. When we talked about it, it was because Christian Pulisic was out. Gio Reyna's out. I keep doing that. Gio Reyna was out. Mm-hmm. Conrad De La Fuente was a young guy. Weah was injured for a while. We weren't sure if he's going to make it. And we were talking about what other options were there. And I brought up What about Dest at right wing? And then you don't have to worry about his defensive lacking defensive options, and he's always in the forward third then.
Well, but you do a little bit because the system requires those guys to do defensive work. But I not understand the same what level. You're saying. No, of course not. No, you are making him less of a liability by playing him up there as opposed to a right back. I agree with that. Yes.
Listen, we're not talking. This is not the move to make for the Mexico game. But
no.
But Jamaica?
I mean, well, so you just
or how about
said,
this? Or like, whoa, here's the thing: he's had a propensity not to play Dest away. He takes Dest, but he doesn't start him away games. But that means he's on the bench.
Okay,
so Dest in a game where you're tied late in the game away.
Different. That's different. I don't think that's crazy. Maybe in a different situation, but you were the one not that long ago who was saying, don't play a 4-2-3-1 because that changes it. And why are we changing things? Doing something different. Isn't playing Sergiño Dest anywhere but at fullback a completely different idea that hasn't been tried at all before?
It's not a different formation. It's a different, it's a different personnel decision. But like I said, situationally, away late in the game. That makes sense to me.
Okay, if you want to pull him off the bench and throw him in, as opposed to, say, DeAndre Yedlin is a game changer on that side, I have no problem with that. Yeah, he is your Il Seno. Shout out to our Philly people.
By the way, we're in trouble at right back, dude. We're in trouble at right back, dude.
Are we?
Yedlin and Shaq Moore both look horrible.
You thought Yedlin
Dest looks good forward, but... Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, I thought he looked lost, man, in the away game to Panama out there. Tackles just missing.
Everybody
completely.
Looked lost against Panama. I don't think that you can judge.
I don't
anybody.
Know, man. Like Joe Scally, I really hope that he's the real deal because we need an actual good defensive option. I think Shaq Moore is good, but he's just not getting the games. He's not getting the games.
It'd be nice if Reggie Cannon could play for a decent team that's not broke, Dick, and not paying for their transfers. That'd be nice. That would be a thing. But yeah, Joe Scally should get a shout as maybe the more sensible defender of the bunch. I've been keeping Jason from Virginia on hold for a while, so let's get him in here. We finished out the forward
line. Jason from Virginia?
Yeah, that's not me. I'm not calling the show myself from somewhere else. Jason, you're
that
on the air. What's up?
Cool trick.
It's Jason Virginia Beach speak, Zach, but
okay.
I did not
I'm north,
east,
south. That's
weekend,
how that works.
So
go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
I did not get a chance to watch any games over the weekend. So did you get to see any Americans play for European club teams, and how did they perform?
Very little. I mean, honestly, the Americans in general didn't play that much. Like you said, we talked about Josh Sargent. Wide open goal. And the guy had a 18-yard finish that went 12. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen.
He put some English on it, Jared. He just accidentally put some English on it.
Don't put backspin on your shots, boys. You know, so that was unfortunate. Like I said, Joe Scally did start on the weekend. Sergiño Dest, like we just said, played forward for Barcelona. All accounts are that he played well. Weston McKennie started on the bench.
Did not play in that game. So there's that.
So it was kind of a lackluster weekend for a lot. I saw Dwayne Holmes scored a really nice goal from
outside the box.
We're
not talking
about Dwayne
Holmes.
Anthony Robinson,
nice to do that as he is. No,
Anthony Robinson had a nice right-footed finish from outside the box. Took a slight deflection, but still finished well. He came into
that
game 1-1 and finished 4-1.
Right now. Andy Robinson is feeling himself at the moment. Jedi's doing backflips. We just announced that his significant other is pregnant, so there's going to be a baby Jedi in the near future. Celebrating with the ball under his shirt.
A young Anakin.
Is that? I don't think you want to do that. You don't want to saddle the kid with that kind of burden, do you?
Just do a better job parenting. You'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Like, it was a mixed bag. And this is the thing. Like, I'm now at the point. I thought about this, too. Like, oh, Americans abroad. Let's check out what happened in Europe. And I don't care anymore. I mean, I do because Pulisic and Reyna need to be back on the field before I feel good about them against Mexico. But if Anthony Robinson had gone out and put in a pretty whatever 70-minute shift, I'm not going to be worried about that. If even Weston McKennie might be on the bench for the rest of the month with Juventus. He's still starting for us against Mexico. It doesn't mean he'll be in the best possible form, but I don't think he's suddenly going to get markedly worse because he rode the bench for a couple
of
weeks.
And this is a tough weekend to judge Americans because a lot of these guys did come back to their clubs with a lot of minutes on them. Some of the guys play at clubs where the other players in their teams aren't international players. They're not making these runs out to the other team. So I'm not too worried about some of them not starting. I know Timothy Weah started on the bench but was in by the 20th minute because I think there was an injury, so he played almost a full game.
Chris Richards came on as a first half substitute.
No, I'm sorry, it's Chris Richards. I said Weah. Yes. I meant Chris Richards. I apologize.
Yeah, and I, from what I can tell, he played relatively well. I saw some of that game. I think it was fine. By the way, somebody earlier, our last caller, I think Felix is saying that Chris Richards made a couple mistakes against Costa Rica. First of all, Miles Robinson made a massive mistake against Costa Rica that nearly led to the slow motion goal from Brian Ruiz. Then Chris Richards, his tackle in the box was not a mistake. He was doing what he had to do to try to keep a goal from being scored, and he risked a card or he risked a penalty, and he got away with it. So I'm completely okay with that tackle.
So next time you're mad that VAR isn't in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, just know that that might have cost us 2 points last game if it had been.
All right, so Jason is gone. I got off the phone. I'm back to whatever I was doing before.
Samuel Cutts says, I haven't given up on Sargent. Maybe he is depth piece at wing and the third option at striker. Great. Second option on the wing or third option on the striker. Can we not do better than that, though?
No. Well, so this is interesting. And we didn't plan on doing the full 23-man roster. We absolutely could get into it a little bit, though, because I do have a question for the besties I want to get to before we get out of here. But really quick, Jared. You just talked about we have issues at depth at right back. Yeah. Reggie Cannon's not playing. Joe Scally is brand new. He could be an answer, but we just don't know enough yet in terms of a national team picture. Brian Reynolds is in the Jose Mourinho's purgatory. He'll never get out of there, as far as I can tell, at least until he goes on loan somewhere. You have, who am I missing? Shaq Moore, who's not even really playing that much in Spain, looked bad against Panama. So, yeah, right back's an issue.
Julian Araujo chose the wrong country.
Yeah, well, he could suddenly there that opening for Julian Araujo, and he already made his choice. But you're gonna have to take another right back. You're gonna have to take another left back, and I'm not quite sure. George Bello, I guess, is the answer. I guess.
Here's the thing. I said it the other day when Nick and I were talking. We're forgetting that Greg Berhalter probably had every intention of having Tim Ream on this last roster.
Yeah,
and that is left back coverage for him. And I don't think any of us feel the same way.
No, that's true. But if we're talking, if we're talking about what Greg's going to do versus what we would do, that's, And by the way, Scally can play left back too. So there's that where that's worth mentioning. Center backs, though, I mean, if Brooks and Robinson are your two starting center backs, well, you're bringing two more, right? For the two games. So who are you bringing? Zimmerman?
I think you're bringing Zimmerman. The guy went from not playing a minute in the previous window to captaining of two of her games. And I would go with Richards with the other one, which is rough for Mark McKenzie. But I just think that the other two have shown some stuff in the last couple of games. And I think it's going to be a rotation. I think there's going to be a few different people through there. The question is, though, does Tim Ream take one of those two spots between Richards and Zimmerman in Berhalter's mind?
Okay, so that's where we've got eight defenders. Is that pretty much the list, right? And then obviously we know that goalkeeper is going to end up being Turner, Stefan, and somebody else.
Plus one.
Could be Horvath, Nick Romando. Be Sean Johnson again. Nick Romando, bring him out of retirement. In terms of the midfield, there's really no other option except for Kellen Acosta to be Adams' backup. I mean, we saw against Panama, maybe he's not the best option.
I know this is never going to happen. I know it's never going to happen. Dax McCarty's still playing so good, dude.
Well, he's playing so good. Well, so the wrinkle, though, is that that Gianluca Busio is there. Luca Della Torre is there.
I think Busio is one of the people that's shown really bright in the last window. I think Busio is going to be a lock for the next cycle. I think Della Torre comes again. I still don't think Julian Green's coming in. There's something that Berhalter either doesn't like about the player or can't get around. I'm not sure what it is.
It's not that I don't want to disrespect Julian Green and what he's doing, but he hasn't been in the picture. There's no reason to think he will be. Not based on what we've seen so far. I mean, you could still introduce new players. I think if you're a Joe Scally at a position of need, you can be introduced, but I don't think that Julian Green's getting into this team. Again, not with Musa, not with Busio, not with Luca Della Torre, those guys.
And to go back to the midfield discussion we were having earlier, when you were talking about Reyna instead of Musa, I don't think you change Musa. I think if you change someone, you change McKennie, and I think Busio is that guy. I don't think it's Reyna.
There are several options there, but I don't think that's necessarily what I would go. I was going to say, we haven't discussed something that came out after the Costa Rica win on Wednesday night, and this is the name that a lot of people just don't want to see in the national team anyway, for some reason, for several reasons maybe. Sebastian Legette reportedly did not celebrate with his teammates after that win against Costa Rica. maybe salty he didn't dress after having been in the team and even starting for a number of games before that, Jared? First of all,
I'm not going to make too much of a judgment off an off-camera thing no one else has seen but one person that reported it. Have you seen any footage of this?
Okay.
I haven't seen any footage of it. I don't know why there's so much stock being put in this because one person had a judgment about what they saw with their eyes.
Let's be fair to Sebastian Legette and move on from that. But the question is, Sebastian Legette in your 23-man roster right now?
Yes, I think he is. I think he's still Berhalter's guy. I think he's still the guy that
I understand he's Berhalter's guy.
I'd take him over Roldan. I think that would be the person, because I think you have to drop one of the two.
But I think they do different things, and I think if you want an energy guy late, which is what Berhalter likes Roldan for, I don't think the Jets
got
guy.
Weah, you got Aronson, you've got energy late still.
Yeah, but in midfield. I'm not talking about up top, I'm talking about in midfield. Those guys you already said don't play Aronson in midfield.
Busio brings more energy than Roldan?
Not the same kind of activity. No,
I agree with that. Not the same type of activity. I don't know, man. I think right now I would still take Legette because what he does is not sexy, but what he does is what Berhalter wants some of the time, which is just take care of the ball, even if that means passing it backwards. And I know that people are absolutely right in some of the clips that were shown online about him not willing to break a line,
scared.
Not willing to
he
go
was
forward.
Scared. I don't know how you can be mad if he did not celebrate. I don't know how you can be mad if you were that scared. And played that scared. I mean, I'm not saying I would play better, but I'm not a national teamer. Do better. Don't play scared. Yeah. That's what I would say about that. Okay. This is something that happened after Wednesday night, too. It did not happen with the U.S. men's national team. It happened with Canada. And I'm trying really hard not to be jealous of Canada. First of all, we're ahead of Canada in the table. Why would
Take
I be jealous
Canada.
Of Canada? But they have the best player in CONCACAF. And I think everybody agrees that Alphonso Davies is the best player in CONCACAF. Yes? Is that a universal thing?
It's tough to make an argument otherwise.
Okay, so they have Alphonso Davies, they have Jonathan David, Taysom Buchanan's breaking out, looks good. They got something going on there. I'm not necessarily jealous of Canada in terms of their players, because the United States still has more depth of talent across bigger parts of the field. But apparently, after the game, Canada beating Panama, like taking them to the woodshed because they were all tired out from beating the United States, John Herdman was at the press conference and was like, yeah, Alphonso Davies just got a text. Drake wants to meet the boys. Now, don't tell me you don't know who Drake is, because I will get very mad at you if you tell me you don't know who Drake is.
I know of him. I can't name a song by him.
Okay, so Jared apparently says he's never heard of Drake, which is literally impossible in the year 2021 to have never
I'll
heard
say
a
this.
Drake song.
If I have, I don't know it's his.
Okay. That's a different question.
Sorry, I'm not up on Canadian rap. My bad.
It's not Canadian. It's literally the most popular.
I also
music
don't know who the hottest rapper out of Panama is.
Other than Adele, who just dropped a single and broke records.
Yeah, I agree with Citizen Stranger. I know Nick Drake. Pink Moon is on. Okay.
All right. Anyway, Drake wanted to meet the Canadian national team. There's a joke about Drake being a jinx, but a curse. But the Raptors did win a title, and Drake is technically involved and was going to games. So maybe he broke the curse. I don't know. But if Greg Berhalter sat down at a press conference after a U.S. victory, and like everybody's feeling great, we dropped four on him, whatever it was, and he said, oh, yeah, so-and-so texted Christian or texted McKenny or texted Gio. He wants to meet the boys. Who is the so-and-so you want to be texting about meeting the U.S. men's national team?
So someone's got Drake flavor is what you're saying. Someone's got Drake clout.
No. I'm not saying it has to be Drake flavor. I'm not even saying it has to be a musician. I'm saying just somebody you would be like, oh, that's so cool. He wants to meet the national team.
Okay.
Or she, for that matter. Who's got that power? Because I know you don't know Drake, but Drake is literally one of the two or three most famous people in the world right now.
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh, my
God. You think Drake is one of the two or three most popular people in the world?
Famous.
I can name three footballers that are more popular than Drake.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm exaggerating for effect.
Yes, you
are. He's in the top 20, all right? He ranks in the top 20.
Okay.
His FIFA Coca-Cola ranking is pretty damn high right now. It's not as high as Belgium's, but it's pretty high. You tell me.
I would go, let's see, I think Obama would be pretty cool.
Okay. It's a little boring, but okay.
You said you didn't want a Drake. You said, like, no, who's someone like...
It doesn't have to be a Drake, but it can be a Drake. Now, I understand you're not tuned in with what the kids are listening to, although you spend all your time on TikTok, so I don't know how you haven't come across at least one song.
One of the D'Amelio sisters? Would that be good enough for you? Is that current enough for you?
The first thing that came to mind...
Okay,
for me,
honestly, for me, it would be David Dobrik.
Oh, my God.
I love me some David Dobrik. What do you want me to say?
I don't even, all I know is that dude got like in trouble for being a jerk on his videos.
Who hasn't been? Who has it? Everyone's getting canceled.
Me, I've keep never been a jerk on a video to you or oh, anybody yeah, else for that matter. Wait, what? No, I think for me, the answer is probably, and there's a little bit extra here because it's, I don't know, because she's not known necessarily to be around sports all the time the way Drake is, but I think Beyonce is as close as we're going to get. Like Beyonce, because there's cultural cachet there that we just don't have with the national team right now.
I'd be a lot more excited for Jay-Z than Beyonce.
Okay, Jay-Z's fine, but I think Beyonce's the bigger star right at the moment. Jay-Z,
I would love to see Lizzo partying in the locker room with the boys after
that
a big
would
win.
Be amazing. She's not as famous as some of these other people, but that would be amazing. Absolutely, I would be down for Lizzo being there. 100%. Lizzo picked up the phone. She called. She texted up so and so. She wants to meet the team.
But I want to flip your question a little bit on its head, because I think the more interesting conversation is, who's the player you think that would get the text?
So that's why I said three different names, because I'm not positive.
Like, who's the guy that's got the clout? Okay, that so one of these the people, like, they would have the number.
The most famous player is Pulisic. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but he's also the least on, wait, flavor.
Hold on, listen. The most famous player is Pulisic.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's necessarily tied in. Then you have Weston, who's like the funny guy everybody loves, but I'm not sure it's him either. It might be Weston. Gio, I don't know where he falls. Gio could have some really dark stuff going on. He could also know people you don't think he would know. That's a possibility. I think Timothy, I know he's not a starter out now for everybody. I think Timothy Way is like the coolest dude in the room.
Dude, his dad is like runs a country for God's sake.
Yeah, I think
sakes.
It's Tim. I think it's
and, dude's and got former, African clout that no one else has.
Former player of the year. I think it's Tim Way.
I'm going to throw out one other one for you though.
Yeah,
I think Serginho Dest. The Barcelona thing's big.
Oh yeah,
the Barcelona thing's big. There's plenty of like of rappers and hip hop guys out there rocking like Barca jerseys and stuff like that. I think it could be Gio. What if it was now? Here's the flip side. Who's the player it would shock you most if they got the text from this person?
Oh man, who would
basically I would ask you, who's got the least flavor on the team?
You want to
who's
put this
the
on
most
the
vanilla? Vanilla
why do you think you put this on the record? Don't you know that I, Jared? Did you know I have a radio show? Did you know that?
Soups has it right.
WNBC. WNBC.
I have to talk to some of these people. This is my answer. I'm not gonna say it out loud. This is my answer.
I'll save my answer. My answer is Matt Turner. no, actually, I'll just say my answer is Tim Ream.
Tim Ream's got like, I bet you he's got like people he knows in London that are way cooler than you would think. Not on the rap game.
I'm going to throw out a dark horse candidate for the person that might actually get the text that has the clout.
Okay.
Just based on the shoes, Greg Berhalter.
No.
He might have this kick hookup that we don't even understand. It's the same kick hookup as like Jay-Z.
I'm going to say this, okay? This is going to be a very, this is, I'm on the couch right now, okay? I'm going to say something that's very honest and true, okay? As a guy who's roughly Greg Berhalter's age, also somebody who likes sneakers, but I can't afford them the way Greg Berhalter can, so I don't buy a bunch, but somebody who likes them and would wear them if I could, it's a poser ass move, okay? I'm not saying he's not cool on some level.
You're saying that he doesn't actually enjoy the kicks.
No, I'm saying he does absolutely enjoy
them. Then how is it a poser if you're legit and you actually care about it?
I'm saying that he's not accepted in that world with that look the way he wants to be, is what I'm saying to you. I'm saying
assuming he wears them because he wants to be accepted, not just because he thinks what he likes and what looks good.
I think that the motivations are, I like the shoes, they look good, but also I want people to think I'm cool.
So it's a stolen valor thing for you.
A little bit. I think there's a little bit of that going on. I think
he's the guy
bit,
wearing the 9/11 jacket that was never on Ground Zero, huh?
Yeah, it's the dad pulling up in the Trans Am in the 80s. It's a little midlife crisis. It's a little midlife crisis. It just is, right? It's just a little.
I don't know, man. You don't have anything like that for yourself, still?
No, I do.
You're posting post workout thirst trap pictures on Instagram.
Occasionally, I do that, and I'm very aware of what that looks like when I do it. That's the
looks
thing.
Hot
I'm
as
so,
hell, dude.
I'm so aware of.
Sometimes
it.
I'm like, oh, he looks kind of hot when he's sweaty.
I
start
do
to question
it
things
knowing.
A little bit.
I do it knowing exactly what it is. I think Berhalter might be the same, but that's why he's not getting a phone call. because nobody's picking up the text and being like, oh, what up, G? What up, Triple G? We're going to come by. That's not happening. It's not happening. It's
not, okay. No. I mean, I'm going to let you deal with that from a publicist standpoint.
Oh, man. I don't, hopefully that won't matter too much. All right. We don't have time to talk MLS Cup playoffs. Your team won a game. Congratulations. Sasha Kleshchen cried afterwards. Like, wow.
Dude, that was a great interview. Did you watch that interview?
I did. I watched that interview. Yes.
Dude, okay. And here's the thing. I grew up as a guy that hated Sasha Kleshchen. Because
he played for Chivas.
He played for Chivas. I couldn't like him, right? Yeah, dude was doing Karate Kid celebratory kicks on my home turf. You know, I couldn't like him. I can't help but like this guy now. And I'm telling you right now, this is one of those guys that in like 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about this is going to be a big coach in this league. I'm pretty sure that
this guy. Yeah, he might be that guy. Yeah.
You didn't even know
he had a brother
guys.
That worked for the team. You don't get to talk about Sasha Kleshchen.
Because I didn't know some dude named Gordon.
Yeah, his name is Gordon. What's wrong with that?
Their parents made that rough for them. Gordon and Sasha?
Yeah, but their name is Kleshchen, KLJ. Like, what are you going to... You're not going to
get I'm just
telling
you, man. Sasha Kleshchen, if you guys haven't watched that post-game interview, go find that. It's online. I think LA Galaxy put it on their Twitter. It's a fantastic interview with a dude that just has all the right things that you want in American soccer players.
Yeah.
And he knows where he's at. He's realistic about where he's at in his career. You know, and he knows it's winding down, and it's just great to hear where his thoughts about for the next generation.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I don't have a lot to say. Philly with a point of, I don't know, what else? What else happened that's of interest in the MLS
Cup? Well, the big thing about the Galaxy getting the win is that also Real Salt Lake won, Minnesota won, LAFC won, all the teams at the bottom that fighting for the last place in the West all got the 3 points they need. They all matched each other. Sounders going down in one of those results as well.
Yeah, they lost to Houston.
They've got points to give, you know.
Yeah, I would say this. What's interesting in the East.
Toronto eliminated.
The Red Bulls, that was not a surprise. The Red Bulls are in it, and I didn't think they would be. And Columbus ain't dead yet. And I don't think they're going to get there, but they ain't dead yet. So there's at least a shot.
I'm not sure if we're going to talk our predictions, preseason predictions on the post game, but that's part of why we're doing on the post game is that we had a bet at the beginning of the season.
Show. Yeah, the bonus
between
show.
Nikki and myself about which team was going to finish with more points at the end of the season. It's now mathematically impossible.
Is it?
That since he finished, the Slack did the math. I think it might have been Mike, so you know Mike's math is good.
Right.
He's got
22 points in 5 games. Yeah, you can't do that. So, there you go.
So Nick is going to, the bet was Nick has to eat sushi for the first time ever. Put in an order for him at some random Ohio sushi place, and he went and picked it up. We're going to talk about it on the bonus show. He's going to eat it live on the bonus show. First piece of sushi he has ever gone past. He tells me he's never even seen a piece of sushi before.
It's amazing. That's amazing. I don't.
So
if
you're not on the Patreon, we're going to be posting it on there over the next days or so. I wouldn't be surprised if Morgan leaks a little bit of this on the video. It's going to probably be good enough to do so. But if you want to see the full video, we'll put it on there. But the whole reason about talking about that is that we did preseason predictions. I think somewhere here in the next couple of weeks, we need to revisit those and see who came up on top.
I'm technically part of the bet. I'll explain my position on the bet when we get to the bonus show. Okay, I'll explain my position on the bet when we get to the bonus show. I will do that.
Wow.
Very quickly, we don't have time to get in, or we wouldn't do this justice anyway, but I would like to say, thank bleeping God that Steve Baldwin's going to sell the Washington Spirit. Okay. That is
the worst of the Baldwin brothers.
Yeah. Nobody likes that. Well, there is a Steven, so he can't
that's
gonna be
saying.
Doubling up. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Which one was he in the one in the
Biodome? I think, wasn't it?
Was he Biodome?
With Pauly Shore?
He wasn't in the terrible movie with Sidney Crawford back in the day.
Nick
right?
is nodding his head, and Nick has only seen 5 movies, and I bet you that's one of them. And he's nodding. He's nodding his head. He has seen Biodome. Nick somehow knows, this guy hasn't seen Goodfellas, but he's seen Biodome.
Every single song released in the 1990s by their first 2 notes, but he doesn't. He's never seen some of the biggest movies of all time. It makes no sense to me. He's got one pop culture on lock, and the other part is like, nope, don't know anything about that. All right. Patreon.com/TheBestSoccerShow for the bonus show, which is where Nicholas Soup and Sushi is going to eat some sushi. Also, we have the Bestie Slack, which is just raging all the time. Incredibly fun stuff. The Besties beer group is getting back together. If you want to do beer trading stuff, happens over there. It's kind of
I think they've picked a drinking night in November, and everyone's going to be shipping out beer to each other, new things they've never tried before.
Something
so
like
get in
that.
On that.
Something
get
crazy
in on it.
Like that.
I believe there's poker next weekend as well.
Yeah, they're going to put poker together too. There's also like travel tips and people sharing stuff about going to the World Cup and how much it costs and all that. What else?
And there's now a Bessie's gaming channel as well.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Totally fun. Yeah, let's do that. Let's game it up, guys.
Yeah, that's another thing you probably think is like a midlife crisis kind of thing.
No. If I could, if I had the time, if I thought it wouldn't ruin my relationship with my family, I would have a console. I'd be playing all the damn time.
See, that's why you can't wait till you see, you got a 13-year-old, man. He's perfect Fortnite age. You should be playing Fortnite with him.
Okay, I'll explain that on the bonus show as well. Like, that's not happening. I'm missing other... Oh, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave us a rating. This is what we need to do. This is the business we have to get to before we get out of here. Nikki Soup and Salad / Nikki Soup and Sausage / Nikki Soup and Sushi, apparently. Let's bring him into the show and have him give us...
The Sausage King of Chicago.
An update on our reviews over at the iTunes page. Apple Podcast, that's what it's called now.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Boomer.
Yeah, look at him! Look at him rocking his winning football team's hoodie right there. American football. Yeah, I had to do that because the other team is not okay. Let's move on quickly. Let's just not do that. What do we got, Dave?
All right, so we got some great reviews from a few weeks ago. We got to play some catch up here, so I'm going to read a couple of them here. This first one is from MTUSA08. It says, "Great show. Keep up the great work. Love the shows recently. Next time there is a roster show and you go over defenders, you need a Voltron Defender of the Universe sounder.
Ooh.
Cartel, Shenanigans, Octopus, Purple Monkey Dishwasher." Those are all keywords that we wanted you to put in the review. So,
by the way, he just put the words in, though. He didn't use them creatively.
So I have this.
The Legend of Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
I have that.
Yeah, you just got to clip down to Defender of the Universe. That's all you
I should
need.
Do that.
Or
yeah,
we just need to use it because we need to hear it more.
It just needs to be in the rotation. You're right, yeah.
All right, and this next one is from... Can't Beat the Best. This is from, I don't even know how to say your name, so I apologize. As an octopus fisherman, I spend more time at sea than most, so I often seek out U.S. soccer podcasts to keep up with the game. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, and Nikki Soup and Sausage definitely make the best of the beautiful game from the best of the USA. Between Jared's Napa Valley perspective, Jason's East Coast work ethic, he has a radio show, and Nikki's Midwest lovability, you just can't find a better U.S. soccer podcast. If the canned octopus cartels don't put me out of business this season, I know exactly what I'm doing when I'm back home. I'm going to Cincinnati to have some Skyline chili. I'm going to California to bang some chains. And I'm going to D.C. to get into serious old dad FC shenanigans. Love the pod, fellas. Keep it up.
Man, old dad FC reference. We let that die, but everything else was brilliant in that review. Yeah, those are good. Keep them coming. We are just this a saison away from 250 on the reviews over at Apple Podcasts. So let's do that by next week. Let's get there. We got to build up to Mexico. So between now and the Mexico game, it's going to be on. It's going to be on for real. All right, what else? Anything else? No.
Hopefully
business?
I survive the sushi.
Well, let's go find out. Nick is going to eat some sushi on the bonus show. If you want to get access to the bonus show, sign up for the Patreon. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Danger zone!
Damn, dog. That's in a props.
I don't like this game. Your men are brutish and their players are you.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Michael fucking Orozco Pascal.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Who asked those questions?
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.